want to share with you scripture. This is a prayer that was written by the Apostle Paul, and it was part of his letter to the church in Ephesus. And this is what he says. He says, "I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong." There's so much that is packed into this passage. It talks a lot about, it talks about roots, about your roots going down deep into God's love. And my question for you today has to do with your roots, your spiritual foundation. How strong are your roots? How strong are your roots? I think that during this hard season that we've been going through, it's exposed roots that are shallow. And when you see storms of life coming along, you know, the hard winds that come in life, when you have shallow roots, that tree gets blown over. It gets destroyed. But Jesus wants our roots to grow down deep into him. Go down deep so that no matter what storm comes along your way, that you're able to withstand it. And that is my prayer, and that is my heart for you. That is my heart for Gateway. That is my heart for followers of Jesus, that we wouldn't have shallow roots, but that those roots would go down deep. And so another question that I have for you personally is I want to ask you, and it's connected to what Judy is saying, is who or what is discipling you? Who or what is discipling you? Discipleship is this aspect we're always learning, we're always growing, we're being transformed. We, as followers of Jesus, we want to be discipled by Jesus, but that's not always the case. Sometimes we're being discipled by other things, by other sources, by other waters. And we're being discipled by the wrong things and the wrong people. Those bitter waters poison our spirits and they poison our souls. And so we're all being discipled by something. Are you choosing to be discipled by the giver of life? No matter what is being said, no matter what is happening around you, are you allowing your roots to go deep into him? You know, in the scripture that we just read, it says he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. I've seen a lot this last year where people's inner spirits are shriveling up and they're saying, I can't take it anymore. They feel like they're dying. And I want to say, man, allow God's love to flow into your life. Allow his Spirit to give you inner strength. It's not an outward strength. It's not a strength of what you can do, what you can accomplish, what you can get through. But when you have the Spirit of God, when you have his love in your heart, it doesn't matter what comes against you, you're going to get through. And trust me, Paul, who's writing this to the Ephesians, if there's anybody who can speak into this, it's Paul. He knows what he's talking about. He's gone through it. He's gone through the fire. He's gone through the hard times. He's gone through the storms. And he knows what that's about. Allowing Christ to make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. There's not a lot that we feel that we can trust these days. And some of us are trusting in things that we shouldn't be trusting in. But what I can tell you is that you can trust in Jesus. When you trust in him, it doesn't matter what's going on. Your roots go down deep, and notice where the roots go down deep in, and it's in God's love. It's not in anything else. It's not in knowledge. It's not in a sense of I know what's right and everybody else is wrong or whatever it is. It's that roots are deep and they're strong in the love of Jesus. Who is discipling us? And so when we talk about foundations of spiritual health, we're going to be talking about things that are regular, that are normal within the life of the church, stuff that you've probably felt like maybe you've heard 1,000 times, maybe not. But it's stuff that for us as followers of Jesus, you have to continue to go back to. And the first thing that we want to talk about today is that aspect of prayer. The aspect of prayer. These spiritual foundations are ancient. They've been around forever. But the reality is that oftentimes we don't take them extremely serious. We know that they're there, but we struggle in doing them. We know that they're there, but we have a hard time putting our trust in them. Prayer is something that we're all familiar with, but we struggle with it. Sometimes we struggle with believing in the benefits of it. Does it even make a difference? It's interesting that there's been different scientific studies that have been done on prayer, and this is totally disconnected from the church. These are just scientists that probably don't believe in God, maybe some of them do, and they look at the scientific research, and it's interesting how there's all sorts of health benefits that come out of prayer. They've done studies, and it's shown that prayer reduces stress, which is interesting. It reduces loneliness and fear. Stress, loneliness, and fear. That is something that people are battling with today. We're more stressed out than ever before. People are so separated, this social distancing, and they're lonely. We're fearful of all sorts of stuff, and it's saying actually prayer reduces those things. These are just scientific studies. It says when they do these studies on people who pray, it says it reduces depression and anxiety. There's other studies that they've shown that it reduces anger and aggression. Anger and aggression. We've become an angry people, and you can see it. I've noticed it out on the roads. It's like you make one little, difference in how you drive that ticks somebody off, and people are just angry. Just angry. I don't know. I think I've had more people flip me the bird this year than any other year. And trust me, I've had a lot of people flip me the bird. For years, I lived overseas, and I learned how to drive like an Asian. And there's things ways that you learn how to drive over there. It can be a lot of fun, actually. And when I came back to Canada, some of those things I was still doing, and my wife had to point that out. You can't do that, Matt. One of those things, it's like, living in Asia was like, people will give way if you just kind of force your way into stuff, like vehicles play chicken all the time over there. And someone's going to give way. And so I come back here to Canada and I'm in parking lots and there's a vehicle coming. They maybe have the right of way, but I'm like, they'll give way if I just keep going. Got a lot of angry drivers at me. But no, you know what? I've been back in Canada for 5 years now, but I've gotten more people flipping me the bird this year. We're angry. We're angry. And yet it's interesting how secular studies show that prayer actually helps this. In fact, they've done studies with married people. And if you're married or you're engaged or you're dating, they actually have found that when these couples pray together, they're less aggressive and more inclined to forgive one another. Yeah. Forgiveness within relationships are so important, within married relationships, within dating relationships. You need to learn how to forgive. Well, if you pray together, you're more inclined to forgive one another. I mean, these are just secular studies. That doesn't even touch on the benefits of prayer from a biblical perspective, from a Christian perspective. And yet prayer is hard, isn't it? Prayer is hard. I find it hard. I know many of you find it hard. Prayer is like a muscle that you really have to exercise. I know when it comes to exercise, we hit the new year and we're all like, I shouldn't say we all, because I know not, there's a lot of us that don't. But there are some of us that are like, I'm going to start exercising. And if you haven't exercised for a while, your first day, you might even do like just a little bit of exercise, and the next day you're going to almost regret it. You're going to be sore. And you're going to be sore for a while when you dive into it. And it's really, really hard to build up the habit of exercise. But the more you do it, the more your body gets used to it, the less sore you are. And the more you do it, the more you want to do it. You don't want to stop. You're starting for your body and your muscles to get stronger, and you want to do it. And this is prayer, you guys. This is prayer. In the same way that people start off their new year wanting to exercise, oftentimes we start off our new year wanting to pray as Christians. But it's something that you have to exercise. It's something that you have to get used to. Without that spiritual prayer muscle being strengthened, it's going to hinder your spiritual growth. When we talk about foundations of spiritual growth and spiritual health, your life is going to be hindered without prayer. You can say all you want about wanting to get closer to Jesus, but if you don't strengthen that prayer muscle, it's going to hinder that. William Carey was a missionary to India a couple hundred years ago. And in talking about prayer, he says this, secret, fervent, believing prayer lies at the root of all personal godliness. William Carey transformed the continent of India. And he looked towards prayer as the defining aspect of that. He's like, you have to pray. You're not going to become godly. You're not going to become more like Jesus without this spiritual discipline of prayer. Prayer is the most active and direct way of God transforming us. When we want and we ask Jesus, Jesus, would you come and make me more like you? Prayer is the active ingredient of that. So the first thing about prayer is that prayer changes me. Oftentimes when we look to prayer, we look to how it affects all sorts of other things out in the world. And it does, and we're going to get into that. But the first thing that prayer does is it actually changes me. It transforms us. Prayer brings us into direct communion with our Heavenly Father. That deep relationship is built, and it changes us. You become like who you hang out with. Right? Your parents used to tell you that all the time, right? They used to be concerned about who you hang out with, because who you hang out with is who you become like. I had a friend when I was a kid. We were in elementary school together, and man, it was amazing when we were together how much trouble we got into. It was nuts, and my parents secretly just hoped that we would stop being friends. You know, we both had this love for like BB guns and pellet guns, and we would get into all sorts of trouble with these BB guns. We'd dress up in hockey gear, running around shooting each other, hiding in ditches, shooting cars, shooting neighbors as they walk by our house and running away. I mean, all sorts of stuff. And it was all him, and I was just becoming like him. He was the influence. But isn't that right? We become like who we hang out with. And so when we spend time in prayer, we're spending time with God, and we're becoming like him. Soren Kierkegaard says this, a man prayed, and at first he thought that prayer was talking. But he became more and more quiet until in the end he realized that prayer was listening. You know what, if you struggle with prayer, sometimes the struggle can be, man, I got like about 1 minute worth of things to say to God and then I'm done. I would encourage you, prayer actually, a lot of it is listening. So a lot of it is being quiet. It's not just about you talking. So if you're a quiet person and you're not sure exactly what to say to God, half the time you can just spend just being silent. Tuning yourself in to hear what he has to say to you. Listening to God. In James, the book of James, chapter 4, he says this. You don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. That's interesting. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. That's a harsh statement, isn't it? It's a prophetic statement. I'm glad he's saying it, not me. There's an aspect when we come to God in prayer, there is this ask factor. What James is pointing out is like, man, you guys are asking for all sorts of stuff. Yeah, you're not getting it because there's something wrong in here. There's something wrong in here. And I think that goes back to what the philosopher Soren Kierkegaard is saying in terms of listening to God, sitting in his presence, allowing it to transform us. When we spend time in prayer, when we go with the goal of, God, I want you to change me. God, I want you to transform me. He starts changing our motives. We start coming to God with the right things. Not with our agenda, but we start asking God, God, what is your agenda? What are your desires? I want your desires to become my desires. When you look at the life of Jesus, if you go right to the beginning of the book of Mark, a biography of Jesus, says this, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. When we look through the biographies of Jesus, this is a continual theme. You see this constantly. And his disciples are writing this in the biographies of Jesus on purpose. They're trying to point something out to you. This was a habit of Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, God in the flesh, is choosing to go out to pray every single day. He's constantly escaping. He's ministering to people, and then he's escaping to be with his heavenly Father in prayer. And I look at the life of Jesus, and I go, man, if Jesus needed that, Jesus needed that, how much more so do we? It's interesting, you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Actually, I should say Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There is this theme constantly of them talking about Jesus stealing away, getting away to pray. And then you hit the book of John, which is very different from the other three biographies of Jesus. And one of the things that John emphasizes about Jesus is Jesus' continual words that he only does and he only says what he sees and what he sees and he hears his heavenly Father doing. Whatever you see me doing, whatever you see me saying, this is what I see my heavenly Father doing, this is what I see my heavenly Father saying. And I think that's connected to the scripture previous, that aspect of Jesus constantly going away to pray. How did he know what his heavenly Father was doing? How did he know what his heavenly Father was saying? Because he was constantly going and spending time with him. He's spending time with Jesus, and then he's going out, and he's doing things, and he's ticking people off, and he's blessing people, and he's healing people, and he's saying stuff that's offensive. And he's telling the religious leaders, listen, I'm only doing what I see my heavenly Father doing. The great theologian and reformer Martin Luther several hundred years ago said this, I have so much business I cannot get on without spending 3 hours daily in prayer. I've read that for years. I came upon that when I was in my early 20s, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, really? 3 hours daily in prayer? And the older that I get, the more understand what he's saying. There was a lot of pressure on Martin Luther. He was a leader in the church. He was a leader of a movement. And I think that part of what Martin Luther was trying to say here is, without this time that I spend with God, I know that my heart is going to go in the wrong directions. I know what God has called me to do, and there's no way I can do it without getting my life and my heart right in prayer. I have to do this. If I'm going to go the right direction, if I'm going to say the right things, if I'm going to write down the right things, I need to spend this time in prayer. And so I can go off and I can go about doing the business that I need to get done during the day, but without that time with God, maybe I'm doing the wrong things. I'm not accomplishing the right things. Prayer causes us to fully rely upon Him and to let go of that controlling aspect. I think Martin Luther was letting go of that controlling aspect. When we pray, we got to learn to really fully rely upon God. And we're recognizing, Jesus, there's all sorts of stuff that needs to happen. But if it's just me doing it, it's pointless and it's useless and we're not accomplishing what we need to accomplish. I need you. I need to rely upon you. You need to do it. John Wesley says this, another giant of the faith. He says, God does nothing but in answer to prayer. It's a very interesting statement because oftentimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes there's this thought process that creeps in that says, why do I need to pray? God's going to do what he's going to do. God's going to accomplish his purposes. He's all powerful. He's all sovereign. If he wants it to happen, it's going to happen. So what part do I have to play in this? But I think John Wesley is grabbing a hold of a spiritual truth that we see all through Scripture is that, yes, God is, he's all sovereign and he's all powerful and he makes stuff happen, but he chooses to partner with us. He's constantly choosing to partner with us. He's like, we're going to do this together. We're going to do this together. And we see the power of prayer all through Scripture. We see the power of prayer. I want to remind you, Exodus chapter 32. We have Moses going up onto Mount Sinai and he was receiving the Ten Commandments. And while Moses is up on Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments, the nation of Israel is down in the valley and they're impatient and they build an idol of gold. And they're worshiping this idol. And Moses comes down and you've probably seen the movies and you've read it where Moses freaks out and the tablets are broken in half, and God's angry. And God ends up having this conversation with Moses. God's disappointed with his people, and he says, Moses, maybe I should just wipe them out, and I'm just going to start over with you. Have you ever felt that about different aspects of life? You're tired of things, you're sick of stuff, and you just want to like walk away and you just want to start over. And God's saying, I'm going to walk away and start over. And this one man, Moses, he looks up to God and says, God, he can't do that. And he pleads and he prays to God. And God relents. God chooses to not do what he just said he wanted to do. And you listen to the story and you ask yourself, is God just messing around with Moses? Is he playing with them? Is he trying to elicit a response from Moses? And I don't think any of those things are happening. Moses and God have this close relationship and God's just being honest with him. And you see how that close relationship that they have, how Moses is able to move the heart of God. He moves the heart of God. You have an ability to move the heart of God. When you come to him as his child, how does a child have an ability to move the heart of their parent, their mother, their father? They have an ability to do that, and you do too. We see this, you see this playing out throughout the Old Testament. You get to the story of Jonah. And God sends Jonah. He says, I want to send you to the nation of Assyria, and I'm going to send you to Nineveh, and I want you to go preach to them. I want you to tell them they're heading down the wrong path. They're heading down a path of destruction, and they need to repent. If they don't, I'm going to bring destruction on their city. And Jonah doesn't want to go. Why? Because he knows. He knows what God is like. He knows that God changes his mind. He knows that people can move the heart of God. So he doesn't want to go. But the story eventually ends up there, and he preaches to them, and they repent, and they pray, and their hearts are changed, and it moves the heart of God. And God pours out his blessing instead of judgment. And then Jonah's angry at the end because he wanted judgment. He wanted judgment. Are there times that you want judgment? I know sometimes I do, and yet that's not the heart of God. God wants to bless. God wants to bring flourishing. God wants to bring life. And we have the ability to move the heart of God in that way. Prayer changes the world, you guys. Prayer changes me, it changes you, but we see in the Bible that it changes the world. We see this story in 2 Kings where King Hezekiah is in his palace, and the prophet Isaiah comes to him and says, you're dying. God has told me you're going to die. You're going to be overwhelmed with disease and you're going to die. And Hezekiah, as Isaiah is walking out, he turns and immediately he gets on Facebook and he tells everybody that he's dying. Immediately he picks up on the phone and he starts talking to his friends. He doesn't do any of that, right? He turns to God. And he calls out to God. And before Isaiah can leave the palace, the word of God comes to Isaiah. And he has to turn around. And he comes back to Hezekiah. And it's like, God's changed his mind. You're going to live. Holy smokes. That's crazy. The power of prayer. The power of prayer. There was this song back in the 90s. I'm a bit of a child of the 80s, teenager of the 90s. Some of you guys remember there was a band called Delirious. They, they like really transformed the music scene back in the early 90s. And one of their songs that gripped my heart as a teenager. In fact, it was so transforming, this song, that within our fellowship, we used to have this big youth conference, and we called it Youth Convention. And eventually it became History Maker. And it was this song that was the impetus, I believe, for the changing of it from being Youth Convention to History Maker. It grabbed my heart. Sorry, I'm probably just crying because I think, you know, sometimes you look back on your past and you see God in it, right? But I remember listening to this song and being like, I want that to be me. I want to be a history maker. And what's interesting is that there's all sorts of ways that we can change history. And oftentimes we look at all sorts of ways by, we look at charismatic leadership and do this and do that. And if you go onto YouTube today, you can find all sorts of ways that people want to tell you that you can change your life, that you can change the world, that you can change all sorts of stuff. 10 steps. 5 keys. 3 whatever. But this grabs a hold of something that's so important, right? Is it true today that when people pray, that all those things will happen? And it's true. It's true. If there's one thing that you can do, it's pray. And that's something that I think I'm still trying to grab a hold within my own heart and my own life. As a pastor, I want to change all sorts of stuff. As a pastor, it's like, if I just do this and I just do that, and if I just start this program, and if I just, like, if I'm better at this, if I'm just better, man, you guys are probably able to look at me and say, man, if I just wish Pastor Matt, I wish Pastor Matt was all sorts of things that I'm not. But I know that prayer makes a difference. And ultimately, it's because I'm laying it to God and saying, God, I can do all sorts of stuff. But Jesus, I'm putting my trust in you. You can change things. You can transform things. In the world that is falling apart, in a world that just, you look at it and you get so disgusted, and so angry, we look to God and say, God, you are bigger than all this. And we get down our knees and we pray. And we pray. And so prayer is something that we have to learn. It's something that we have to learn. It's something that most of us, if we're truly honest, we're just not very good at. I think especially for us in the 21st century, we're just not that great at it. I'm not that great at it. But something that we have to learn. We all have to start somewhere. Sometimes it's like when we look at, like, we do prayer on Wednesday, we do pre-service prayer before church. When you look at prayer, sometimes I'm assuming that a lot of you guys look at it and say, like, I can't do that. I'm not a good enough fill in the blank. And I want to encourage you and say, you can. You can. You take that one step forward. You learn bit by bit by bit. You start learning and you say, if I can learn to pray for 5 minutes, then I can learn to pray for 7. If I can learn to pray in this way, I can learn to pray in that way. We see the disciples coming to Jesus and they're looking at his prayer life and they're saying, Jesus, teach us to pray. Because they weren't any good either. And Jesus still chose them. I'm assuming they sucked at prayer. And God started off, Jesus started off with a short 20-second prayer for them to learn. Richard Foster, in the book Celebration of Discipline, which is a flipping amazing book. Every Christian should read it. It's kind of old, but it's just filled with so much wisdom. It says this, to understand that the work of prayer involves a learning process saves us from arrogantly dismissing it as false or unreal. What does he mean by that? You know what? Every so often, I have this phone, this cell phone, and it gives me problems every so often. In fact, every so often, it's like I open it up, whether I go to Safari or go to YouTube or whatever it is, and all of a sudden the internet's not working. I can't figure it out. I check the internet, it's not working. Sometimes I have to restart it, got to reboot it. Sometimes there's things that are wrong with it. But whatever is going on, one of the things that I don't question is whether or not there's a cell signal out there somewhere. I don't question that. I can't see the internet waves going through the air. I cannot see a cell signal. I know it's out there, but when my phone stops working, I don't say to myself, well, I guess there's no such thing as cellular service. When it stops working, I don't say, oh, I guess there's no such thing as the internet. We know that it's out there, but when this stops working, we say something needs to be adjusted in this phone so that it starts working again. But oftentimes in prayer, when it feels like it's not working, our first thought or our thought that we can go to is prayer doesn't work. Prayer doesn't work. We feel that within our soul. Or God, maybe we're saying God doesn't answer prayer. I don't want to encourage you. It's not the fact that God doesn't answer prayer. It's not the fact that God doesn't listen to prayer. It's not the fact that prayer doesn't work. Sometimes we just have to figure out something else that needs to be adjusted within our lives. Possible reasons for unanswered prayer. Maybe we're praying for the wrong things. Kind of like that scripture that James was talking about earlier. Sometimes we're just praying for the wrong things. Maybe something within us needs changing. Maybe something within us needs changing. Maybe there's something about prayer that I just need to learn. Prayer's a learning process. Sometimes we just need to learn something. Maybe there's something we need to learn. Maybe patience and persistence is needed. Jesus talked a lot about that. He told parables about that. He told parables about patience and persistence when it comes to prayer in terms of pushing through, that you don't see an answer right away and you keep on pushing through. Maybe God is just saying no. And I know for me, within my life, I think I've experienced that a lot. Maybe you've experienced that a lot. Sometimes we just don't know. Sometimes we just don't know. And so I'd like to encourage you in your walk of prayer. I've put these things out here. We had these produced a couple years ago. It's called Prayer Toolbox. These are free. And I encourage you, if you don't have one of these, grab one of these. It's a great resource in terms of guiding you in your prayer. Sometimes we just need a prompting. Sometimes we need some help. Some other prayer resources. Pete Gregg came out with an awesome book called How to Pray, A Simple Guide for Normal People. You can find that on Amazon. It's connected to the 24/7 prayer movement. There's also a prayer course that you can take, which we're going to be probably kicking off towards the end of this month. If prayer is something that you'd like to grow into, is something like you would like to learn, we're going to be doing that prayer course towards the end of this month, and this book is connected to it as well, and I'd like to encourage you to grab that. Another resource is one by Brad Jerzak called Can You Hear Me? Can you hear me? A great prayer resource in helping you hear the voice of God, right? We talked about half of prayer is listening. And if you want to go way back and you like some of the classics, I want to encourage you to Charles Spurgeon's book, The Power of Prayer in a Believer's Life. Do we have that up there, Carly? Yeah. the power of prayer in a believer's life. So many different prayer resources out there, but here is just a few that I would encourage you in. Read up on it. Learn about it. Pursue it. And one last thing I'd like to encourage you guys this morning is don't complicate it. Don't complicate it. Jesus told us to come to him like little children. Faith like a child. Children oftentimes don't know how to pray. But they come with that innocence. They come with that honesty. They come with trust. They come with imagination. If you can learn to pray like a child, kids have imagination. We need to come to God with an imagination in our prayer lives. Come to God with that trust. Come to God with that honesty. The church needs your prayer. The leadership of the church needs your prayer. I need your prayer. This city, Kamloops, and this world that we live in, it needs for us to learn how to pray. Foundations of spiritual health. Why don't you stand with me as I close in prayer? Let you go this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in prayer. And Lord, we come with you with our hands wide open. Lord, I pray that you would help us develop a relationship with you in prayer. God, oftentimes it's one of those things that we struggle with. It's not easy. It's oftentimes hard. And Lord, we ask you that you'd help us to strengthen our prayer muscles. God, I pray, oh Lord, that we would draw closer to you and that we'd allow you to change us. That we'd hear your voice, that we'd become more like you. Jesus, I pray, oh Lord, that we'd learn to persevere in prayer. Jesus, that we'd learn to trust you in prayer. Jesus, I pray that we'd come to you as a little child in prayer, trusting you, dear Jesus. Lord, we need you. God, help us to build that foundation. I pray, Lord, that our roots would go down deep in you this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have an awesome Sunday.